whatever you want to say. And I heard him clearly say, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And then I just meditated on that. And then the Lord continued to speak. And he just showed me that to fight the good fight of faith of unity. And I just saw how the enemy came, even now, in this time, to almost put little firecrackers in our hearts against one another. Little offenses that we put there where it would cause us to shrink back or even stay away. And we put up walls in our heart, literally what we sang this morning. So just be encouraged that we're going to fight the good fight.
So on Thursday, I got this message and that line, put up walls in our hearts. He didn't know that these guys were going to sing this song. So it's like God's busy speaking, you know. And one thing as elders, we got together and the one word I felt for us as elders is do not shrink back. Don't shrink back because God is with us, man. So listen, in light of that, listen to this word.
Sure. I want to start off by saying to you guys that the Lord is busy building faith in each and every single one of us. Don't disqualify yourself. Every single one of you have been given a measure and he wants to build more. However, these parts of us that we stifle the Holy Spirit. And I have a... the Lord's mercy is here. And I really sense that take the moment this morning. When that moment comes, do not disqualify yourself. Because of cynicism and cynical thoughts that is taken captive in your heart. Like things like, oh, well, God's not going to supply. Well, she said that, so, you know. And then it's this heart thing that becomes hard. And we disqualify the fact that God actually wants to build faith because cynicism looks back, but faith looks forward. So if you have been looking back at things, check your heart this morning. Take the moment, receive the Lord's mercy, and say, you want to take time and actually break cynicism over your life because the Holy Spirit wants to come and make something new in you. Okay.
Good, eh?
Oh, I'll try it in English here. Okay. So I had a dream last night, and in the dream, I was walking towards the crowning ceremony, you know. But every time on my route there would, you know, be someone or something there that just hinders me on the way there. And then I would have to, you know, first sort that out and then, you know, continue. And it just, you know, running in circles and actually getting frustrated that, but why can't I get, you know, to that point for that crown to be put on my head? And it's only then in the dream where I was like, okay, but I need help. And as soon as I said, well, I can't get there, I need help, that, you know, actually, well, in the form of people, that whatever was holding me back was put in a prison. And only then could I actually go and the crown could be put on my head. And what that translates into is that I feel there's a lot of people that you want victory in an area, but there's just something the whole time that holds you back. You feel like you just can't get there. But only if you surrender to God and ask for help for those people around you can you actually get victory in those places.
Isn't it incredible that God is building his church? He's talking to us. It's not that all three just came to me this morning around that. And I just thought, like, Lord, we want to be faithful when God speaks that we respond to him. And it actually lines up, I think, quite a lot with what Dylan wants to share this morning or what he felt God put on his heart to share this morning. So can we open our hearts wide? And I want to say, if there's a moment, even while he's preaching, and God is talking to you, just repent. Just come before God. Doesn't have to be a moment to come out. There might be moments to come out. Like what Christelle said, sometimes we need people to help us to walk these things through. But this morning, let's hear what God wants to say. Is that okay? You guys okay? Amen? Come, let's pray for Dylan. Lord, we thank you for Dylan, God. Thank you for a man of faith, for a man that is worthy to be followed, Lord Jesus. A man that stands before you, God, and saying, Lord, Do with me what you like, God. My life is yours. So, Father, I want to pray this morning as he shares that it'll be your words that come through him, Lord, and that we can move as a family together in unity as one forward in the things that you have for us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. So cool to be here. I feel very privileged again to be sharing God's word. It's always an honor and a privilege to be able to see God work in people. I can't do anything, so don't come to me afterwards, because it's not me, it's Jesus that does things in you. And I believe he's going to do something incredible today. And I think he's actually given me some keys for your lives to unlock things that have kept you locked. As Christelle was sharing her message there, everything she was saying was the heart of God for you guys. It was such a beautiful picture. We've been given free choice. You choose. Blessing or cursing. Life or death. Choice is yours this morning. And I don't want this to come across like this is, if you do this and you apply this, what I feel God's saying to you this morning, you're going to find life and life in abundance. So there's going to be some adjustments that you might need to make, and God doesn't want to leave you the same. But if you apply this to your hearts this morning, the freedom comes to you as those who walk with God. I was chatting to James, and he said, have you got like a little bit about a testimony? And I thought, what a good way to start, because it's actually probably about 3 years, maybe 4 years ago. I'm not too sure. I was in a community. Francois came to visit, and he shared his testimony about what God had done with him, and like how he'd taken him to J-Bay too soon and left, and like quite a lot. But the point that I'm trying to make here, he said this word. And I'm hoping this morning you're going to hear a word like this for you. He said, I just don't want to be mediocre. And as he said it, it was like the Holy Spirit hit me in the heart. And I was like, I'm mediocre. I go to church. I do all the things I'm supposed to do. But I haven't got that deep-rooted relationship with Jesus. I want that. But I don't know how I've got to this place where I'm a good attender. But I'm not in attendance with the King. I've become a person that can come to church and hang with people, but I'm not hanging with the person of Jesus. And that shifted my whole life, that one little move. Because I actually asked them in the community, and this is what I want you to do today. If you have this moment, like Baron said, stop everything and just make right with God. I actually stopped the community and said, guys, you need to pray for me. I'm mediocre. I had to realize what was going on in my heart, and I had to take that thought captive and put that thing underneath Jesus again. So what I want to do today is I want to expose two areas we walk with God that holds us in bondage. The first one is unforgiveness, and the other one is repentance. The word is quite clear, and this is what I want you to hear very clearly this morning. Unless you forgive, God cannot forgive you. Let that sink in. Unless you forgive, God cannot forgive you. Now, we always hear, yeah, you shouldn't have unforgiveness in your hearts, like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. And that sounds horrible. And then Crystal said it again this morning. It says, actually, unforgiveness puts us in a prison. We lock ourselves in, and we don't let anything in. Because God can't come in. If he's true to his word and he says, unless you forgive, I can't forgive you, then you're unforgiven, actually. It's quite a harsh thing to hear. But I don't want you to hear the harshness of it. I want you to hear that this morning. If you forgive those who've hurt you, who have come against you, who have done things that are wrong, and we're not justifying what they've done to you isn't right or wrong, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is, you holding on to that is killing you. It's put you in a prison. Okay, so let me try and go to my notes. I have a sip of water quickly because I'm quite nervous. Holding on to unforgiveness is actually a silent killer. We won't know that you hold unforgiveness. You keep it quiet. I preached something similar to this before, but it's weird. This time I felt this. God actually convicted me on something. And I was like, huh? I thought, like I never want to preach something that I haven't dealt with in my own life. So, like, I always, God, any unforgiveness in my life, anything I need to repent of, please, quickly. Especially if you're going to go and see a prophetic person. I know we all do that. Eh? Lord, get rid of all my sin before I go. I don't want to hear about it in public. Please, don't let me hear about how silly I am and all the bad things. But actually, it's a thing that we keep inside of us. And something that could have happened to you as a kid, something that could have happened to you from your husband or wife, something that your parents could have done to you, something that your wife or your, like, people around you, like good friends. But most importantly, somebody in this church. God uses the things in this place to sharpen and shape us. And it's not for us to hold unforgiveness. The devil wants us to hold that stuff. But if we allow God to come into that place, he's going to set you free. So in Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not even 7 times, but 70 times 7. I'm going to stop there because I had a completely different title for my preach. And then God said, no, I want you to call it 70 times 7. His heart is all about forgiveness. He wants you to forgive as many times as you need it because he knows if you hold on to unforgiveness, you're going to continue in that place. Unforgiveness doesn't just hurt others. It hurts you. So what happens when we have unforgiveness in our heart? We become a little bit bitter, a little bit twisted in our the way we think. We don't truly trust people anymore because we're sitting with that, what happens if they did what that person did to me? And we're almost guarded. And this morning, I think God wants to set some of you free from, like, you. I want to say some things that I felt God say to me about this. He said, some of you are wondering, God, where's my breakthrough? When are you going to do something in my marriage? When are you going to do something in my life? When are you going to do something in where I walk? And God was like, well, when you deal with that thing. So if that's for you, take that now, one of those moments. I think it's for a couple of you. Sorry, I'm doing it on my computer because I typed it out on this little piece of paper and old people need glasses and I don't like them. Forgiveness doesn't say what they did was okay. It says, I won't be chained anymore. Like, I'm sorry if something happened to you when you were young and somebody did something to you. I'm sorry that people hurt you. I'm sorry that these things happen. I know Jesus is sorry as well. Like, your marriage didn't work or your relationships didn't work or at work you're not as great as you think you actually are and you realize that now that part hurts you. And so the people that speak out against the work that you do creates unforgiveness in your heart. I'm saying that because that's one of the things God convicted me of. I work in a company and somebody just said, what he said there wasn't right. And then they came and asked me and I was like, what is wrong with this oak? Like, he doesn't even know what he's talking. Like, obviously I start justifying my own. It's what we do straight away. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. He's like, he's never ever dealt in this department. Like, how can he come in and give his 5 cents worth? It's a little hook. Now, do you think, until God spoke to me about that, do you think I was like, oh, he's such a cool guy. I wish I could just hang with him like this. I'm going to get away from that. And I see him, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. If we do things without love, we are like a clanging gong. If you don't have love for everything that God's given us to, even the things that hurt you, that's where he's going to get it. Who am I holding in prison by not forgiving? And is it really me who's locked in? It's proper, eh? You're actually holding yourself in prison. The beautiful thing about this picture is always this, and I know we use this, I use this quite often for unforgiveness, is you're sitting watching the person that you have unforgiveness to, and you're stabbing yourself in the leg, bleeding in pain. And the person's just carrying on with their life. They're unaware of your unforgiveness. They don't feel anything. The only person who's suffering is you. It blocks God's forgiveness. So for me, I don't know if you've heard anything, but that for me is the main. Like, that is the key to unlocking forgiveness for you in your life. I don't want anything to block God's forgiveness for me. I need forgiveness. Please, God, don't let me. So I'm so scared to hold on forgiveness for people now, because I want to be forgiven. I don't want to be a person that's sitting here wondering, am I forgiven? Or am I not? Is this okay? Does it feel heavier? Does it feel heavier, or does it feel a little bit lighter? I'm like, it's a key, okay? It's not going to lock you in. It's going to help you unlock yourself out of prison this morning, okay? Okay, Jesus taught that if we don't forgive others, ourselves, we won't be forgiven. And if you want a scripture for that, that's Matthew 8, 6, verse 14 to 15. Let's quickly read it. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Okay? So just in case you thought I was talking rubbish, it's in the Word of God. It's actually quite clear. Cool. It denies the gospel. Christianity is built on the idea that God forgave us while we were all sinners, in Romans 5, verse 8. When we refuse to forgive others, we deny them the same grace. Sure. So we want to always talk about grace and how grace is so great for us, and how we received it from God, and what a beautiful thing. My grace is sufficient every morning for you. Unless you have unforgiveness, then my grace is not so sufficient for you every morning, because how can I forgive you? Because the Word says I can't forgive you unless you forgive those. Are we getting the picture here? Wonderful. Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15 says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it goes a little bit different, like stuff that I've done wrong before, and I've asked for forgiveness, and I've had unforgiveness in my heart. I'm not forgiven for anything. Wow. Jeez, God. Everything. This is a big thing. That's why I feel God wants to break it open over us. And I really felt for us in this place. Like, we have the keys to unlock the fullness of God in our lives. The guy who died on a cross for us, like, he made everything open for us. He's done everything we can possibly do for us to come into freedom. And we're making the choice, I'm not forgiving them. Because that was horrible. How dare they? And you're missing out on life and life in abundance. You're missing out on forgiveness for your own life. That's crazy. When I started doing this preach, I didn't realize that that's how deep it actually cuts. Like, I don't want to be the person that's not forgiven. I need forgiveness. Please, Jesus, forgive me. Even forgive me for holding unforgiveness. So this morning, I'm going to give a call for that a little bit later about if you've had unforgiveness. But I'm not going to just point you out and say, yeah, come, you shouldn't have had that in your heart. That's not between me and you. That's between you and Jesus this morning. Okay, so God can unlock stuff. Cool. The second is repentance. Repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry. It's turning away from sin and towards God. So a good picture is always, I'm battling God. Please forgive me. Ah, it's nice. Oh, Lord, I'm battling. I really don't want to do this. Oh, but so nice. You just keep walking into death. What repentance is this. And I don't go that way again, ever. That's what true repentance is. We can't keep looking back In deliverance, we call that starving your demons. Because if you keep feeding them, those eggs are like, I want more. I want to throw stuff on you. I want to destroy your life. I want to take everything away from you. And it's just that little feeling right now that feels so nice, but I want to destroy you. You're heading to destruction. And your life is not going to be the same unless you do this and repent. It restores our relationship with God, repentance. Sin separates people from God. That's in Isaiah 59, verse 2. Repentance is the way back. It's how some of us acknowledge their needs for grace and aligns us with the life with God again. We go this way, and I said this to you. You feel like, oh, why is my breakthrough not coming? Why? But you're dabbling over here. You're dabbling the whole time. And you know it. But you expect this beautiful God who loves you, he's just going to overlook at this stuff and just bless you because I don't know why. You ask yourself that question if you're dabbling here. So this morning you can stop this and go this way. God's still okay. Cool. It's the gateway to forgiveness, repentance. Jesus constantly called people to repent. In Mark 1, verse 15 is the one. You can't receive your forgiveness unless you first recognize that you need it. I always want to go like this, like, okay, who thinks they need forgiveness? And I'm like the first guy. Me, please God. I don't want you to put your hand up because I know every one of you need forgiveness. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all want to, here's the problem here. We all want to seem like we're something that we're not. I don't know why. Like we're doing better than we are. Our lives aren't as broken as we want people to see. We want people to see this picture of us that we want them to see. And actually, God sees the picture of who we really are. And we're more concerned about what you think than what he thinks. And this morning, I want to ask God to do this in your lives. That you would care more about what he thinks this morning. Thank you, Andre. Andre's telling me to smile. Thank you. I forget that. I get a little bit like intense in God. And I do love you, and I am happy to be sharing this word because I know it's going to bring forgiveness and repentance in your lives. But I don't want you to feel like I'm like, you should go. Okay. It brings transformation. Genuine repentance leads to a change in our hearts and behavior. It's not all about guilt. It's about growth. We can get stuck in guilt and lose out on this growth path that God's got for us here. Because you sin, sorry God, and then you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Then guilt kicks in. Why do I keep going this way? Why can't I break free of this? And guilt will just eat into guilt. And let me just tell you who's the champion of guilt in your life. The devil. He wants to destroy. He wants to take anything that you can do in this side and chuck you onto this side. You're not good enough. You're not a good enough businessman. You're not a good enough husband. You're not a good enough father. You're not a good... Da, 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 da. And then you become that exact person that you watch on a series where the husband is completely nothing in the family and the wife rules and reigns the family and husbands are supposed to rise up. Repent. Turn away. Go this way. Matthew 3 verse 2 says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't know about you, but I want the kingdom of heaven, eh? I've had the kingdom of this world. It sucks. Like, it's not even cool. Like, I've done everything you're supposed to do in this world. Nothing comes close to the things of God. Nothing comes close to the freedom I feel when I'm with the Father, who has taken everything that I've done wrong on himself and put it on himself so I can have freedom. Yet I choose to go, oh, And then I justify my sin. And Matthew 3 verse 8 says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Luke 5:32 says, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Repentance is the best way back to the Father. So just a good example of coming to repentance is, and we've heard it this morning, is the prodigal son returns. So here we are in a mud, pig's mud pit. Woe is me. I can't do this anymore, but I know. If I just turn this way today, in this hall, in Melkor Strand, my Father's standing here, open arms, waiting for you to restore you back to everything that you ever knew before, but you're choosing pig poo. And he has life and life in abundance, but you're sitting in your pig poo. You've got so comfortable with this because you think nobody knows, nobody cares, I can keep it quiet. But he wants you in freedom. And you know there, it sucks. And you know here, he's waiting. So this morning, he's waiting with open arms. Repentance isn't about shame. It's about return. Some of you are going to have to return to Jesus this morning. Some of you have got so cold that this morning you're going to have to recommit your life to God. And some of you who have never met Jesus are going to give your life to Jesus this morning. And let me tell you what, best decision you're ever going to make in your life again. Because right now, something in you is going, what is this? Why do I need this? And there's a longing in your heart to do the things that are right and in God. Our God runs to the repentant. He embraces, restores, and celebrates. He wants to do that with you this morning. Repentance is how we return to God. Forgiveness is how we reflect God to others. Both are actually about humility. If your pride gets in the way of you this morning, I feel like you're going to miss something of God today. The other one is grace and healing comes with that. My grace is sufficient for you, but choose who today you will serve. It's still sounding heavy. I'm hoping you guys are seeing there's life at the end of this tunnel. Like there's a lot. Like I'm trying to make it that you feel, okay, let me just stop that. Can we just pray quickly? Holy Spirit, would you come, Lord God, and would you touch hearts, bring them back to healing, bring them back to you, God, bring them back to your plans and purposes that are good for them, Lord God. That families would be restored, lives would be restored, Lord God. People will walk in the fullness that you've got for them. In Jesus' name. Sorry, I felt like I was coming against something there. It did feel a little bit. So hopefully that softened your heart and you're ready. And I'll smile again for Andre. You can't truly repent and still hold on to bitterness. It's impossible. So this morning, when you repent, here's the thing repentance is about. Is that you can't keep going this way and not have bitterness in your heart. But if you turn this way, bitterness is removed. Because once you put, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first. When you take your eyes off the kingdom, you slowly start moving the opposite direction. Bryce, is this okay? I can just see your eyes. I don't know what your facial expressions look like. You can't truly forgive others until you've experienced God's forgiveness deeply. So when I say forgive somebody, that doesn't mean we forget. Okay. What happened to you didn't happen anymore. That stuff doesn't go away. It happened. And I'm sorry. But when you forgive those people and you feel God's forgiveness deeply, you're going to find love for those people. It's the weirdest thing. You're going to find compassion for people that have hurt you because God had compassion on you in your life. So this morning, make good choices, please. So the first thing I want you to do is realize this. I've spoken enough in depth about forgiveness and repentance. I think we all got it, eh? Can I have a thumbs up if everybody got it? Understand that we all need it. Wonderful. But I really felt this morning that maybe you haven't given your heart to Jesus. And the day I did that, I couldn't believe somebody could love me that much. I came from a very broken background, and I remember sitting in a hall like this. And when that call came, I was like, I can't do this. I actually said this, God, if you're real, you put my hand up, and my hand went like this. And it stayed like this. And I had long hair, and I just looked up at my hand, and I was like, what is going on here? And at that stage, Andrew was still pretty much leading the church. And he kept saying this. And I can remember just saying, shut up. Because you'll say, thank you, I can see your hand, you can put it down now. I'm trying to. Please. And it was the freakiest moment of my life that I realized, in that moment, it's the same moment that I realized, God is real. I'm trying to pull my arm down. I can't do it. I've had full control of all my extremities before this, and I chose to put them in bad places. Now God's putting my hand up, and I can't do anything about it. He loves you that much that He will do unbelievable things in your life to show you that He's real. So if that's this morning, I'm going to pray for you later, but I want you to put your hand up sometime this morning, and hopefully you don't have to ask God to do that for you, because I feel like there's something going on in your heart this morning that's racing. Because He wants to restore you back to everything that's been stolen from you. Everything that you've experienced in life that wasn't good and loving and caring. He wants to give that back to you. Then the second one is this. And I feel there's quite a few of you asked for this. Some of you have drifted. Back here. And you can't even find a way back here. You don't even know how to do this. This morning, it's going to do this. That's what it's going to take you. God wants you back. We want you back. This church doesn't operate without all of us in the same place. So why don't we stand up quickly? Why don't we close our eyes? Would you come right now, Holy Spirit? And I want to ask the first one. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus before, and today God wants to say, would you come into my kingdom? I've paid the ultimate price for your life. And I want you to find the freedom that so many people in this hall have found. But what He wants you to do is, He wants you to respond to His call. So if that's you, would you put up your hand? Right now, if God's just put something on your heart. Is there anyone here? Okay. you couldn't put up your hand, because I believe there is someone here that wants to put up their hand this morning and it's a little bit hard for you, maybe you need intervention like me and say, God, if you're real, put my hand up. I'm not going to ask you to do that. If you couldn't put your hand up, then come to me afterwards, okay? But my second call is for those who feel like they've drifted all the way back here. And it's not like you're living a life full of sin and you're just far away from God. You've drifted. And you want to come back to him this morning. Would you put up your hand quickly now? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. If there's any doubt in your heart about should I put up my hand or shouldn't I, put it up. Now, we're all going to pray this. So for everybody who put their hand up, including everyone else, I'm going to pray this quickly. Lord, thank you for dying for me. Lord, I'm so sorry for that I've sinned against you. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. Would you come and wash me clean right now and restore me, Lord, to everything that I've gone away from, Lord God, and into your beautiful kingdom again, Lord God, and into your family, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so now I'm going to make a bigger call. Yeah, there's a lot of people watching now. Is everybody still good? Okay. This one I don't even want you to wait about. If you feel like you need to deal with something for unforgiveness, just walk out to the front right now. And there's a lot of you, so just keep coming. So come out to the front. Come to the front. Just allow God to come do some stuff in your heart. Don't be shy. This is your time with God. It's not about what people think. Keep coming, please. Today is your day with Jesus. Unless you can forgive, Jesus cannot forgive you. I'm just going to move to that bar because I need a list. Okay, would you close your eyes in the front chair? Would you close your eyes in the front, and whoever you've got unforgiveness to right now, would you give that to Jesus? There we go. Some of you are starting to experience the freedom of God right now. Everything you've done wrong, God is forgiving you of as you forgive. There we go. More, 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 Lord God. More freedom, God. And then there's a... So you guys stay here, and I want you to keep as God does this, because God's going to, I think you're going to feel God touch you in a different way now. But the next call is this from repentance. And I'm going to give you a list that God gave me for this church. Repent from pride, envy and jealousy, lust, racism, prejudice or hatred, money and materialism, career success, relationships or people pleasing, entertainment, social media. I just want to stop on that one because that one was quite I sometimes like scrolling. But some of you have actually used that as something that you're saying, I don't have time to spend with God. But if we had to look on your phones, your social media hours are hectic. I feel like God's asking you to repent of that today. Because your time for looking good on social media, I'm going to give you that word again, sucks compared to what God's got for you. So why don't you guys start coming out? I believe there's people that want to just start coming out. And the other one is self. you've got into this place where self-preservation has become everything about what you need and not what God wants for your life. And I feel like God wants to adjust something in that self-preservation space. That there's a place in your heart that has become hardened because, God, this is not about, hasn't become about your kingdom anymore. It's become about my comfort, my position, what I can get out of this, rather than what can I give to this thing. So if that's you, so that's all the things I've got. So hold on a second. So John just had a picture of the Lot's wife when she looked back. And it's about, maybe sometimes in the past you've experienced Jesus and it was beautiful and you were like, what? Where is that? And I feel like God wants you to repent today about looking back to what was before and not looking to what he's got for you ahead of you. You're so stuck in the past about this is the way we used to do things and this is how it worked. And I heard this beautiful picture. The world, we do this, but we actually spiral down because we have nothing to go to. But in God, we have something to go to. We have something, some purpose that he's driving you to. And if you're looking back the whole time, you can't get to the purposes of God in your life. You want to see the purposes of God, come out and repent about that this morning as well. So why don't whoever else wants to come out right now. I'm jumping back to unforgiveness. If you had unforgiveness towards your husband or your wife, come out. If you have unforgiveness towards your parents, come out. Unless you forgive, this is a big thing today. You cannot be forgiven. I want you to be forgiven. I want you to live in the freedom. If you're sitting in a broken situation and you keep asking God, when is my breakthrough coming? And God is like, your breakthrough is here, right here this morning. Do not wait until tomorrow. Do not wait until it's too late. So if that's you, come out quickly. So I'm going to give it like one more minute and then we're going to pray for you guys.
Got this picture of a car and there's people in the car and it's heading towards a cliff and you keep saying it's okay, I can hit the brakes, I can hit the brakes and I can turn around and I won't go over the cliff, and you keep doing it over and over again, but your brakes are failing and you are going to go over the cliff. And God is giving you this chance to repent and turn away, to stop heading towards that cliff. You need to come to him today.
I just felt the Lord reminded me of a time that I went through with my dad. I shared a bit before about our adoption with Luca and how I felt so rejected by my parents when they didn't accept that that was the journey that we wanted to take for our lives. And I really had to get to a place where I have to get compassion for my dad, and I just feel like over and over the Lord's telling me now, like what Jesus said on the cross, like, Lord, forgive them because they know not what they are doing. And I just feel like maybe someone has to just get to that place again, like to have compassion for the person that you have to forgive. Some people, like, they're just doing their best, like my dad just did what he did, know best, like to protect his daughter. And it was so amazing, like when I got to a place where I had compassion for my dad and I could ask forgiveness for my part that I brought in the whole like situation with him. And that's when we got true reconciliation. That's where like we got to a place where my dad could have compassion for me and I could have compassion for him, and we could repent to each other, we could repent to the Lord. And I think, if I just can explain the amazing breakthrough that my dad had in his life, where he had, before he passed away last year, he just had so much life and so much more relationship with the Lord. And I don't think we could get, I had to forgive him before he could get to that place with the Lord. Yeah, so I just want to encourage you, if there's someone that you're really struggling to forgive, just, Lord, I just pray that you would restore that compassion for the other person, just to show them that they, sometimes they just knew what they think that what was they were doing best, and they had their own context and their own thoughts in the situation, and just to not have that pride that we always know better. And, if there's any, rejection experience, I just pray against that, Lord. And just show us also where we, just what part we bring in the situation, and that you would just also forgive us for that, Lord.
So the guys at the back, I'm hoping that you're praying for these guys in front of you, because this is probably the most beautiful moment in God that you can ever imagine, that people are getting forgiven again and coming into the fullness of their lives again. And all these words are coming because God wants you. He's not stopping until he gets you. So why don't we just listen to this next word as well and just really take it to heart.
So just when Paulette shared a word earlier about the rocket ship, and how God, there was that countdown, and it's like God is wanting to do something to sort of propel this rocket ship. And I had, I felt God sort of say, that fuel at the bottom, it's like a refining fire, and how the importance of more than anything God can do for us, it's about resting in that thing of, God, I want you even more than I want the breakthrough that you can give me. It's you, I want you. And just that everyone, standing here at the front for different reasons and different things that God is obviously pressing on your heart. It's that thing of being God, I want to be on that rocket ship, and that fire can burn away whatever is not of you. And that being you, the prize, it's not even about where you're propelling us to. It's about you being the prize. And then God, who he is, brings us to spacious places. And just in Titus 14, 2 verse 14, he says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And I felt that's us here being God, you're the prize, you're worth whatever, all these things, burn them away, and that's,
Just all morning, actually all week, this scripture has been on my heart, Psalm 37. I'm going to read from verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. I think and I feel some of you are holding on to unforgiveness because you want justice, because you want to see breakthrough come first. You want to see that Yeah, you wanna get justified first, and then you will forgive because you're wanting to do it yourself. And God is saying, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. He will bring that breakthrough as you first turn to Him, as you first trust Him for forgiveness, as you first trust Him to let go. He will then bring forth that, and He will act on your behalf.
Beautiful. Okay, so this is your moment. Nothing to do with what I say or anybody else says in here. This is your moment to meet with Jesus. He sets you free. So why don't you close your eyes, everybody? And if you're at the back and you want to receive this, actually, I feel like jumping and want to receive this too, because I'm so desperate for the presence of God in my life. Lord, would you come? Would you set those free, Lord God? Where unforgiveness has just eaten away at their souls and their lives and their freedom, God. Would you set them free right now? As they forgive, Lord God, would you forgive them? And Lord, those repenting of things that they've done, Lord God, this is why you died for us, God. You've paid the price. Father, I pray right for those people right now, Lord God, that your Spirit would fill them right now. It would draw men to you. And right now, Lord God, I want to pray. Would you come by your Spirit and start to set people free from condemnation, from guilt, from shame, from pain, from hurt, from envy. Let your Spirit move, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Fire fall. Let your fire fall, Lord God.
For the lover of my soul, come, Holy Spirit, set me on fire, let me burn with desire. If for the lover of my soul, come, Holy Spirit, set me on fire, let me burn with desire. For the lover of my soul, come, Holy Spirit, set me on fire, let me burn with desire. For the lover of my soul, you will find no walls in my heart, just an open door for you, just an open door for you. You will find no walls in my heart, just an open door for you, just an open door for you. So come, Holy Spirit, set me on fire, let me burn with desire. For the lover of my soul, come, Holy Spirit, set me on fire, let me burn with desire. For the lover of my soul, come, Holy Spirit.
So we're going to carry on singing that song, but if you're feeling like you just want someone to pray for you,